He spoke, and his father turned and sat once more. But the swineherd threw green brushwood down, and on its top a fleece, on which the dear son of Odysseus set him down. And now the swineherd brought platters of roasted meat, which those who ate the day before had left. Bustling about, he heaped bread in the baskets, and in an ivy bowl mixed honeyed wine, then took a seat himself over against princely Odysseus. And on the food spread out before them they laid hands. So, after they had stayed desire for drink and food, to the noble swineherd said Telemachus, "Father, whence came this stranger? How did his sailors bring him to Ithaca? Whom did they call themselves? For I am sure he did not come on foot." Then swineherd Eumaeus, you answered him and said, "Well, I will tell you all the truth, my child. He calls himself by birth of lowland Crete, but says he has passed through many cities in his wanderings. So heaven ordained his lot. Lately he ran away from a ship of the Thesprotians and came to my farm here. I place him in your charge. Do what you will. He calls himself your suppliant." Then answered him discreet Telemachus, "Eumaeus, truly these are bitter words which you have said. How can I take a stranger home? I am myself but young, and cannot trust my arm to right me with the man who wrongs me first. Moreover, my mother's feeling wavers whether to bide beside me here and keep the house, and thus revere her husband's bed and heed the public voice, or finally to follow some chief of the Achaeans who woos her in the hall with largest gifts. However, since the stranger has reached your lodging here, I will clothe him in a coat and tunic, goodly garments, give him a two-edged sword and sandals for his feet, and I will send him where his heart and soul may bid him go. Or, if you like, serve him yourself and keep him at the farm, and I will send him clothing and all his food to eat, so that he may not burden you and yours. Yonder, among the suitors, I would not have him go, for they are full of wanton pride, so they might mock him, a cruel grief to me. Hard is it even for a powerful man to act against a crowd, because together they are far too strong." Then said to him long-tried royal Odysseus, "Friend, for surely I too have a right to answer, my heart is sore at hearing what you say, that suitors work abomination at the palace against a man like you. But tell me, do you willingly submit, or are the people of your land adverse to you, led by some voice of God? Or have you any cause to blame your brothers, on whom a man relies for aid when bitter strifes arise? Would that to match my spirit I were young as you, and were the son of good Odysseus, or even Odysseus' self, come from his wanderings, as there still is room for hope. Then quickly should my foe strike off my head, or I would prove the bane of all these suitors when I should cross the hall of Laertes' son Odysseus. And should they by their number crush me all single and alone, far rather would I die, cut down within my hall, than constantly behold disgraceful deeds, strangers abused and damsels dragged to shame through the fair palace, wine running waste, men eating up my bread all idly, uselessly, to win what cannot be."